Hi everybody, and thank you for joining us. I am Maria Kutsia.
And I'm Louise Kutsia. We're the authors of Closer Than a Breath, a near-death experience memoir that is due to be released on the 3rd of January 2022. Today we're sharing some behind-the-scenes bits about the book, and we're super excited as there's only a few more days to go.
Yay!
Maria, it is such a privilege to interview you. The idea is to help readers to get a bit of a feel of who you are and what to expect from the book. Just to give readers a bit of background, Closer Than Breath captures the events around Maria's near-death experience after being hit by a tree and the incredible encounters with Jesus, which contradicted everything she believed and knew about God, the afterlife, and life on earth. A truly life-changing testimony. Maria, it's a bit unconventional in that it has two authors.
Unconventional, definitely, Louise. I'm not good at English at all. So I try my best to do this interview. And if you will please excuse my tenses and everything. And
Take
whatever we have to give you.
Oh, absolutely.
Unconventional, yes. But Louise, I love collaborating with you. It was absolutely an experience out of this world. It was hard enough to describe the spiritual realm that I've experienced in words.
Yeah.
Never mind, from Afrikaans to English. Luckily, you were there to do it for us. And yeah, to think we started off you sitting next to my bed in hospital and scribble notes and all the bits and pieces from people sending emails and messages and prayer requests, and you made a book from those scribble notes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that in the beginning the idea was just to preserve some of the events because they were so different and fantastic.
Yeah,
just for the grandkids. And I kept thinking about my kids being that young, they're gonna forget, and I wanted them not to ever forget this. And then I kept thinking, oh, what about their kids one day? We want to save it for the generation after. So that's where it started to become a little bit of a
journal.
Move from notes to a journal and then into this book. I think we never really imagined that it would become a published book. And we just took the one little thing at a time. To what we believe Jesus was asking us to do. And I'm glad he only gave us the next little step, because if he said to us, oh, you're going to do a big published thing, and I would have gone, I'm really grateful we could only see one little step ahead. Yeah, that was awesome. Maria, I'd love to dive into the story. So even though this is a near-death experience memoir, you take us right back to your six-year-old self. And we go on quite a bit of a roller coaster with her as we live through all the naughty bits and the interesting things that you got up to. But then her world comes crashing down because of this one
event.
And your whole world changes because you see yourself different. You look at God different. You look at life different.
Yes.
So with all of that, why did you take us back to your six-year-old? Why not just start where the near-death experience started?
Yeah, Louise, this is to take the reader's hand and walk a path with them. If we started where I've met Jesus, they would know that I've changed, and it was dramatically, but they wouldn't know me, and they wouldn't live or experience what the little girl experienced and why the big changes happened.
Yeah. If I had to describe you before the accident and after the accident, it would be like two different people. And I guess if we've just come into meeting the new you, but not to have seen that flip.
Yeah. And I think also, to walk a path with somebody from that age, it's so easy to put yourself into that journey. And I think that's our heart for this book.
Yeah.
For people to be part of the story and not from a distance. Onlooker,
Exactly, because, I mean, if you're human, you've gone through some sort of a hurt. All right, now, with all that in mind, if you could speak to your own little six-year-old self and you could tell her anything from what you've learned, what would you tell her?
I doubt if she would listen. She was just too stubborn.
Has anything changed? You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, perhaps that didn't change.
Well, you call it persistence, maybe.
Something like that. I think, Louise, as adults, we look back into our lives, into our decisions that we've made when we were little. And we've got all this experience now. And, perhaps we were too hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
The choices that we made when we were at that age was the best.
With what you had. What you had available, what you knew.
I would still make the same choices, even if it was the wrong ones.
Okay.
Anyway,
if you wouldn't tell her to make different choices, would there be anything else you would want to tell her?
Yes, I think so. If she would listen, I would tell her two things. One is that she is worthy to be loved. And she doesn't need to prove that she is worthy. And number two, run from religion.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to get back to number one, but if I can ask around number two a little bit, run from religion, that's an interesting one. I know you have grown up in a Christian home, and we've grown up in a Christian home, and we wrote the book from a Christian worldview. Why do you come up with this one, run from religion?
Yeah, Louise, I'm not a Christian.
Righto. Hello, Mom. I'm Louise. So, have you now renounced your faith? Anything I need to know?
No, I do love Jesus. But Christian is, I think it's a religion, and it put Jesus in a box, and it put your faith in a box. And I'm not a Christian at all. I am a child of God.
Oh, yes. I get what you're saying. A lot of religion has boxed Christianity into what it is.
Yes.
And it has become misrepresented and commonplace, which is not anything near what you have experienced with Jesus. I can't even marry religion to what has happened. At all. It's not the same thing. So.
Yeah, I think also we learn certain language, Christianese.
Jargon.
And even the words, God loves you, it became so common. And the reality of that doesn't exist. That's my view. It's just words. It's not the practical. Yeah,
until your world's flipped upside down, eh?
Yes.
So we move through your childhood in the book. Then we get to the accident scene where we know you're dying. You can tell you're having a near-death experience, and we kind of expect to follow the narrative of the classic near-death experience story where you see the familiar bright light and you suddenly find yourself in heaven and you leave your body. But it doesn't work that way for you at all. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, Louise, I thought I know Jesus. But when I become aware of him, it was nothing like I've learned or grow up in or thought I know. And he was, it's hard to describe. And it was much more than I've learned.
Yeah.
And much more than I thought he was.
Maria, that moment with Jesus has brought so many tears, but it was happy tears every time you had to retell that, because you're always so overwhelmed with the emotion of that moment, just meeting him face to face for the first time.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it isn't your classic Jesus loves you moment where he tells you that he loves you. He doesn't even speak. Is that right?
It's exactly right, Louise. We didn't need words at all. That one moment with Jesus spoke louder than my entire life, my entire reference that I've got of him. That moment became my reset button. That moment became eternity.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love it. I think that was also when we played around with the title of the book. That was the title that we at first thought.
Started off,
The moment that became eternity. And that will always be the title for you.
For me, definitely, yes.
Yeah. Oftentimes, if you read near-death experiences, they tell of that one moment or that
the ones of
then we keep reading and surprise there's so much more that happens after that.
So much more, definitely.
So many of those experiences after your near-death experience are all new. We have never, from our research and reading and listening and looking things up, never actually seen or heard of these things. A lot of them are just completely, all right, let's put a term around this, or let's get a name for this. What do you call this? It's so new. It's so different from what you expect.
Yeah, exactly. Just think about this article you showed me this morning. That I've experienced this one thing. I don't want to waste time on that now, but you just mentioned 4 years after that we experienced it, it's now becoming
a new technology.
It was described.
Yeah, now somebody's termed it, like labeled it. There we go. It's got a name. Now we can refer to it by name. It's very interesting. I think you were very hesitant to share some of the things, not only because, how do you start putting words around it, but then, okay, my family's going to think I'm a little bit crazy.
First off, I thought it might be the heavy medication that they put me on. So I tried to get off the medicine as quickly as possible because it might be hallucinations. And then I realized, no, it's not hallucinations, and it's still going on. And the beautiful experience, it's not nightmares. I yearn for it. I can't wait to meet Jesus again and again and again. Every time that the pain is unbearable, that's the place that I run to.
I think that's key, Maria, what you've just said. After everything was dropped off, it wasn't the meds, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. Everything then was centered around Jesus. Every single event had him as a center. Now, Maria, we do get this a lot. For someone who picks up the book and reads about their experiences and what you've gone through, they often ask how they could have those same experiences and what are the steps that you've taken to experience them.
Yeah, Louise, the book is about unlearning. And it's freedom from religion. That's our focus. It's not another religion or
strategy
or steps or whatever you call it. I always said, if you want a good experience, go and dive the Great Barrier Reef. That's an excellent experience. This is not about the experience. It's all about Jesus. About a relationship with him, about love, about joy.
And so what would you say to anyone asking how you would marry all of this up to scripture? Because, it's so different.
If scripture is a love letter, I met the author.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. All right, so what if someone listening thinks, okay, you know, I'm not a Christian. In fact, I'm not religious at all. Would this have any value for me? Why would I pick the book up?
Louise, it's not about belief or non-belief or religion or non-religious persons. Everybody who has heard the story so far, believer or non-believer, has told me they've gained something.
Something that enriched them.
Definitely.
We've had a few of our friends who are not actually Christians, and they picked it up, read through it, and they came back to us in tears saying, oh my gosh, this has changed how I do life.
Yeah.
And yes, they are most certainly now looking at Jesus and going, okay, he's real. And we are so grateful just for that, because, you know, if one person reads it and goes, oh my gosh, Jesus is like this, not like that, that for us was enough. But for them, afterlife is no different. Life here is no different.
Yeah.
The whole concept of being afraid of death, all of that has taken on a whole new look for them. So, yeah. Maria, on that topic, the spiritual world and other dimensions that became the reality for us through this journey was such a support, first of all, for you going through the near-death experience and all the trauma, but unexpectedly also for us, your family.
Exactly, Louise. This is also the reason why we decided to introduce your voice in the memoir, so that family members standing next to their loved one's bed and don't know what they experience could be
comforted
and have hope.
Yeah, hope was big.
It was so important to have your voice in that moment where I was still
unconscious
and in ICU, wasn't able to speak.
Yeah, that's right. What we experienced with Jesus there and all of heaven and the angels there supporting us was so beautiful, even though the trauma was so terrible. And that we have learned hope and comfort. It wasn't just there for us, it's there for anybody.
If their focus can be on Jesus, because that was the one thing that carried us in the time. Right. That
it wasn't like, you know, we were perfect and you did everything. We actually do walk through all our messy human emotions and our weaknesses in the book. It's not like we are special either, that we experience all this stuff, and it's true for everybody.
Yeah, that's why this book is not only my story, it's everybody's story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maria, it's been absolutely incredible to interview you. I have one more question left for you. What would be your greatest hope for this book?
Yeah, Louise, it was difficult to make the decision to publish it. You know, the moment you put your life, your vulnerability out there.
Yeah, and you're not someone who,
not
you know, does public speaking or talk about yourself at all.
No, and you know, there will be criticism and everything.
Yeah.
But above all, our desire to bless another person, the next reader, the next person who goes through trauma, go through death, go through cancer, go through whatever, just to bless them and give them hope. And it exceeded all our fears and vulnerabilities. If this book can be a blessing to another person, it will be my greatest hope.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I always looked at the whole writing endeavor as it's Jesus's story. That kept me going, and I'm writing his story.
Yeah.
He just happened to choose us to write it through. You know, we're very blessed to be able to to pen it.
Yeah, to be part of this.
Yeah, just be part of the story. It was amazing to interview you. It has been an incredible journey. Closer Than Breath is already available for pre-order in ebook, audio, paperback, and hardcover. For more, go to www.louisegutsier.com. Thank you for listening.
Louise, thank you for the interview. Thank you for your willingness to do the book. Sorry. My pleasure. Listen all these hours and do all the hard work. We really appreciate you. And we love you.
I love you too, Mickey. Thank you.